for the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Live from the WJFF studios in Liberty, New York, this is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. On today's show, the Pike County Conservation District is committed to the long-term protection and sustainable use of Pike County's natural resources. We'll chat with Emily Mansfield from the district about the partnerships, education, and planning that contribute to that sustainability model. A German Christmas. The initial European settlers in Pike County were from Germany. Milford Bible Church will host its annual German Christmas service this Sunday. We'll talk to Pastor Ralph about it. Plus Sullivan 180's MLK Youth Summit. While most folks are focused on the December holiday season, the folks at Sullivan 180 are already planning for the Youth Summit on MLK Day in January. We'll chat with the Sullivan 180 Managing Director and Outreach Coordinator, plus Dickens on the Delaware. But first, the news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. The Israeli military says it's expanding its operations in southern Gaza, and forces are moving into Gaza's second largest city. Palestinians are reporting more civilians are dying in bombings and strikes. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says the U.S. is urging Israel to limit civilian casualties.
They believe they need to operate in the south, and we've told them, you know, we'll continue to support their military operations, but we want to make sure that as they do that, they're factoring in those innocent civilian lives as much as possible.
But international organizations say conditions in Gaza are dire, catastrophic, and shattering. They say it's impossible for Palestinian civilians to find any shelter, and they're continuing to die in large numbers. Disease is also spreading as cold weather sets in. The U.S. Senate remains deeply divided on how to offer U.S. aid to Ukraine. Republicans are demanding that any fresh aid be tied with new federal funding for U.S. border protection. Democrats say the issues are complex and should not be linked. President Biden says U.S. aid to Ukraine runs out at the end of this year. The Republican presidential debate tonight is at the University of Alabama. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports the attention of the four remaining candidates on stage may be on other states.
There'll be a lot of Alabama Republicans in the room, but they don't vote until Super Tuesday in March. Republican strategist Doug High says the voters the candidates need to reach are in those states with early contests.
Now, you still have to win over the room, because if you don't win over those Alabamans in the debate room, that may fall short of what people see then on TV. But if you're Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis, especially, and you want to have a breakout moment here, that breakout moment is defined by how you translate into the polls, into those early caucus and primary states.
So the candidates will likely be spending a lot of time speaking to issues that are important to voters in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. Franco Ordonez, NPR News.
Stocks opened higher this morning as the Labor Department reported better-than-expected productivity gains. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped about 100 points in early trading.
Productivity rose at an annual rate of more than 5% in the third quarter, while the labor cost per unit of output was down. The increase in productivity was the largest in 3 years. When workers are more productive, businesses can pay higher wages without putting upward pressure on prices. The nation's trade deficit widened by more than 5% in October, topping $64 billion. Exports were down during the month, while imports were slightly higher. There's more evidence this week that the job market is softening a bit. The number of job openings declined at the end of October. We'll get a report on November's job gains and the monthly unemployment rate on Friday. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow is now up about 86 points. The Nasdaq is up about 34. This is NPR. Police in Austin, Texas, have arrested a suspect who may be accused of as many as 6 fatal shootings in several different places. Police say 4 people were killed yesterday in Austin in 2 separate shootings. The incidents also left a police officer, a school resource police officer, and a bicyclist wounded. Austin police are looking to see if the suspect is linked to a different homicide investigation in the San Antonio area. Legendary TV producer Norman Lear has died. He was 101 years old. Lear created iconic TV shows such as All in the Family and The Jeffersons, and later founded the political action group People for the American Way. NPR's Selena Simmons-Duffin reports.
Norman Lear brought a television revolution. Before him, plot lines revolved around people learning how to drive or burning the pot roast. Lear took the pent-up tension and social upheaval of the 1970s and put it on TV with such characters as Archie Bunker.
I think that, I mean, if God had meant us to be together, he'd have put us together. But look what he's done. He put you over in Africa. He put the rest of us in all the white countries.
Well, you must have told him where we were because somebody came and got us.
Lear worked in Hollywood up into his 90s, and in recent years, some of his hit shows from the 70s have been rebooted. Selena Simmons-Duffin, NPR News.
Officials in Indonesia say they have recovered the 23rd and last body of a climber who was killed by a volcanic eruption last weekend. Another 52 climbers were rescued. I'm Corva Coleman, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. And the Public Welfare Foundation, committed to advancing transformative youth and criminal justice reforms.
Welcome back to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. The Pike County Conservation District was established in 1956 by the Pike County Board of Commissioners and has worked actively since then to carry out programs focused on conservation of soil, water, and natural resources. Emily Mansfield is the Communications Director for the Pike County Conservation District, or the District. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for being here. Can you tell folks a little bit more about what the mission of the district is, and what is a conservation district?
Yes, absolutely. So like you had said, we were founded in 1956 by the county commissioners in accordance with the PA State Conservation District law. And the founding was requested by landowners in Pike County who were concerned about conservation in our area. And so since then, we have been operating under the direction of a volunteer board of directors of 10 volunteers. And we're a legal subdivision of the state government. So we're part of the county and the state. It's really a partnership between the state and county governments. And our mission statement is that we work to conserve the long-term protection and sustainable use of Pike County's natural resources. And we accomplish this through partnership, education, technical assistance, planning, enforcement, and leadership.
And, you know, one of the big partnerships that you have is with the 13 municipalities in Pike County. Can you talk a little bit about how you partner with these municipalities and how important that is to the whole mission of conservation in the county?
Yes, absolutely. So our partnership with the 13 municipalities, so that would be our townships and boroughs, are really invaluable to us because when we work together, we can draw on each person and each office's unique experiences and expertise, and we can reach more people and strengthen our impact of conserving our natural resources. So one of the main things we do with that, with the municipalities, is the municipal ordinances determine if an earth disturbance site, which would be any project where you're moving soil, digging it up from the ground, so any projects under an acre of that, they determine if you need county approval, which would be from us at the district here, on an erosion and sediment control plan. So that plan would describe best management practices, or BMPs that we call them, and those are things like silt fences and compost filter socks. So when you're digging up the soil, you want to make sure that it's staying on site and not washing away with stormwater into our waterways. So that ENS plan, the erosion and sediment control plan, describes how you're planning to keep the soil on site, and the municipalities decide if it needs to be reviewed and approved by us at the district, depending on the specifics of that site. And then once that happens, we work back and forth with the districts or with the municipalities, sharing information about those project sites and working together to determine the best solutions for any pollution or problems that might arise, and then coming up with solutions and determining who would be responsible for implementing those, either us or the municipality or the landowner.
The partnerships with the municipalities and the landowners are very important. Is there a lot of cooperation? Are people, you know, is this at the forefront of people in Pike County to conserve in the area?
Yes, it's really important for our community members to really engage in conservation. And so we pride ourselves on serving as an educational resource for the community. So we welcome any questions and any help that people need with information about best management practices, erosion and sediment control. And we do a lot of educational programs, and we work with the municipalities and our other partners to disperse that information by hosting each other's brochures and promoting our events for each other.
One of the projects I noticed on your website was the Dirt, Gravel, and Low Volume Roads Program, a DGLVR. You know, in a rural community and a rural area, that is very important. Can you tell us a little bit about what that program is and how folks are making that a success?
Yes, absolutely. So the Dirt, Gravel, and Low Volume Roads Program is a partnership between us and Penn State Extension and the state. And it's really a program for publicly owned roads. So that would be roads owned by municipalities or PennDOT. And we work with those public officials to come up with plans for how we're going to reduce erosion and sedimentation on those roads. So if it's a dirt road or a dusty road with low volume, the sediment can come up off the road with people driving on it. And then when that sediment is loose and it rains or there's snow and the snow melts, that becomes stormwater. And the stormwater can wash that sediment away and deposit it in our streams and other waterways, which becomes a problem because it can bring fertilizers and other nutrients into the streams, which can cause harmful algal blooms. And the sediment is also a problem for our wildlife, especially for fishes. It can get stuck in their gills, and it alters the visibility of the water, so it can be hard for those wildlife to see, to find their food, and to avoid predators. So the Dirt and Gravel Road Program is trying to reduce that erosion, keep the soil on site.
If you're just joining us, we are speaking with Emily Mansfield, Communications Coordinator for the Pike County Conservation District. Emily, one of the things I like about your website, pikeconservation.org, is in the news section, it's not just some press releases. It answers a lot of questions that people might have. One of the headlines is, where does all the water go? What happens when storm management goes wrong? What's my watershed address? You know, these are very clear things that folks want to know when they come to the website, and it looks like you guys lay it out pretty easily.
Yes, we love doing those articles, answering people's questions, and just common interests that people in the community might have. And so we do those articles at least once a month, sometimes more often. And if you want to know when we post a new article, you can sign up for our monthly email newsletter. That comes out the first of every month, and it always includes a link to a new article on our website. And you can sign up for that newsletter at the bottom of our website. The website is pikeconservation.org. And if you scroll all the way to the bottom, there's a big button that says sign up for our newsletter.
And I did that. I signed up for your newsletter, and I got your recent newsletter.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. I got your recent newsletter, and in that you have some tips for sustainable holidays. Can you share some of those tips with listeners?
Sure. Yeah. So the holidays are always a great time, but it can come with a lot of waste. We tend to throw away a lot more food and just a lot more garbage in general in the time between Thanksgiving and New Year's. So there's different things that we can do to try to curb that. One of the big things that we could do is try to be a little bit more intentional with the presents that we're giving. Unfortunately, 80% of items that are bought online and then returned go right to the landfill because it's just too much money or too much trouble for those companies to process those back and sell them again. So it's really important to make sure that we're buying things that people don't already have. So you could do that by reaching out to a friend or family member of the intended gift recipient, seeing if they have that already. And also if it's a clothing item, trying to buy stuff in brick and mortar stores instead of online to really get the sizing right and make sure that something's going to fit.
Shopping local is a good thing, too. Also,
yeah,
you mentioned reusable wrapping paper.
Sure, yeah.
Or wrapping.
Yeah, like you said, shopping local is great because then that reduces the likelihood of returning items when you're buying stuff in stores. But it also reduces our greenhouse gas emissions because things are coming more locally. It's not traveling so far. And yes, wrapping things in reusable papers, so things like tote bags that people can use again, or even just some sturdy gift bags that people can use next year when they're giving away their own presents, or reusing old newspapers as wrapping paper.
I like this one too. Reuse cut pieces of old holiday cards as a gift tag rather than buying new ones or like a plastic tag.
Right, yeah. So that's a great idea too. And unfortunately, wrapping paper and most holiday cards aren't recyclable because of the different glitters and inks and plastics that can be found on them. So trying to avoid those things, or if you have some old ones and reusing them, is a really great way to curb those ending up in the landfill.
And a gift experience or charity donation rather than an item is a good idea. And another one, be sure to compost what you don't eat.
Yes, absolutely. So food waste is a big problem. And so one of the best things we could do is really meal plan and make sure when you're doing your grocery shopping in the first place, trying to figure out how many people will be at your holiday gathering, how much food you're going to need, and making sure that you're not buying too much. But if you do and the food is already prepared, you can compost things that aren't meat or dairy. And if you have whole cans or things that aren't even opened left over, you could always donate those.
And in addition to the programs you offer, the partnerships, you also offer some speaker series. What is Science on Tap, which is coming in January?
Yes, so Science on Tap is a program that started back in 2014 as part of the Pike Wayne Conservation Partnership, which we're a part of. And that's an organization with more than 20 local organizations within it. And the Science on Tap program is a monthly speaker series where we invite an expert in a different science field to come to a local brewery or bar in Pike or Wayne County. And then they talk for a little bit and have an informal discussion answering questions about their chosen topic. And so this started in 2014. It came back for a little bit in 2019 and then 2021 again. But we're revamping it, starting up again January 2024, and we hope to keep it continuing each month from then on. And in 2024, our first series is going to be Thursday, January 18th. It's going to be at the Jam Room Brewery in Greentown at 6 o'clock. It's a free event, free to attend. And then participants are welcome to purchase food and beverages from that host, the Jam Room Brewery, individually if they so choose. And our speaker is going to be Shelby from the Northern Tier Hardwood Association, which is one of our Pike Wayne Conservation Partners. And she'll be talking about a lot of different current PA forestry topics.
All right. A lot of conservation education and outreach from Pike County Conservation District. Emily, let's remind folks where they can get more information.
Yes, absolutely. So our website is pikeconservation.org. You can sign up for our newsletter at the bottom of the website. That comes out via email the first of every month. We also have an Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube page under Pike Conservation. And we offer a lot of educational programs in the community at places like libraries, schools, homeowners associations. So keep an eye out for those. And if you're interested in scheduling your own for your community association, give us a call. And if you go under the educational tab of our website, you can see all the different programs that we offer. Our 2024 feature program is Wetlands.
All right, Emily.
And those are all free programs.
All right, great. Emily Mansfield, the Communications Coordinator for Pike County Conservation District. Thanks for joining us this morning, and have a happy and sustainable holiday.
Thank you so much for having me. You too.
We'll take a break. We'll stay in Pike County, though. It's a German Christmas in Milford. We will talk more about that with Pastor Rolf Buckman right after this break. This is Radio Chatskill.
Your whole life, you've got your heart, your lungs, your bone, your skin, your eyes.
On the next Radiolab.
When you're pregnant, you grow an entirely new organ.
It's a foreign invader.
The placenta
has one mission.
To suck as much nutrients out of the mother as possible.
And the pregnant person's mission?
Not to die.
Join us for the epic stalemate that results in every one of us. That's on the next Radiolab.
This afternoon at 1 on Radio Catskill.
Thank you.
There's always a story behind the music, how the song was written, why the song was written. I'm Kathy Geary. Join me for Now and Then. Now and Then, Saturday afternoons at 3 on Radio Catskill. Listen local.
This is Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. The holiday season is in full swing, and in Milford, they're hosting their annual German Christmas service at the Milford Bible Church on Sunday at 2. The service includes German Christmas music, readings, prayers, and homily all in German. Pastor Rolf Buckman is here live in the studio to give us a little more information and background on the German Christmas. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to share the information about the German Christmas service.
Well, tell us a little bit about the German Christmas service. In Milford, the area was settled by Germans, and there's a long history of German Germans in the community. Can you tell us a little bit more about the history?
Well, I'm a native of the Bronx, New York, so Milford is kind of familiar to me, but basically the German element, I found over the years that there are many German people for whom Christmas is basically nostalgia. They think of the baked goods, the Stollen, and the Christmas songs that they knew from childhood. And often these folks, if they hear there's an opportunity to sing those old songs and to enjoy the old baked goods, I mean, they're fresh, but they're old recipes.
Right.
They would come to the service.
Well, are you familiar with the Alpine House in Hohenstale?
Yes.
You're kind of transported into that thought process, that kind of environment when you walk in. There's the German music, there's the baked goods. So there is a history in the area. How does the service connect to the history in the area with the German settlers?
Well, I'm not sure about the connection with the history of the German settlers, but again, I've found that over the years, there are a lot of German people who just like to go back in history, in their history, and to experience the ambiance of the German songs and so forth.
How long has the service been held?
Well, I've been conducting German Christmas services since the 70s when I had a church up near Buffalo, and that continued into my ministry in Connecticut and various churches in the area. In Milford, this would be our third year. Last year, we were snowed out. So we're hoping that the Lord blesses us with good weather, at least no snow.
Well, being from the Bronx, as you mentioned, where did you pick up German?
Well, my father is from Germany, my mother from Austria, and German is actually my first language. For me, it was a foreign language to start learning English as a child going to school. Incidentally, the school I attended was a Lutheran parochial school, and one of my schoolmates was Ace Frehley of Kiss fame. So that's just a little nostalgia and a little trivia.
And how long have you been in Milford?
I retired in 2005 from my church in Connecticut, so it's been since 2005.
And you talk about the community that wants to experience this nostalgic feeling of German Christmas. How do they contribute to the service, and have they helped shape it over the years?
Well, one of my contacts was a German teacher, Adele Val, and the first year that she was involved, she brought some of her students, and we had like a children's choir. And otherwise, the choir members are basically... We have a few members who speak German, so they will be in the choir. And if we can recruit anybody else between now and Sunday, we'd love to have them sing along.
Oh, there's some outreach here.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the unique features of the service in German. What are some of the highlights of this? You mentioned some of the songs, and what are some of the other things?
Right. There's, of course, Scripture. We like to focus on the main reason for the Christmas celebration. That's the birth of Jesus. So we read the Gospel of Luke. I'm doing a sermon based on the Charlie Brown's First Christmas. And we're going to translate that into German, and hopefully it'll come out loud and clear. So it's a kind of a soft liturgical service. We have prayers, and there's the Apostles' Creed in German, and the benediction and the invocation, and other scriptural snippets throughout the service.
It sounds as if you're modernizing it a little bit for some of the younger folks who may not have German as a first language.
Well, it's not that modern.
I would say Charlie Brown is a little more modern than some of the traditions of the church.
Yeah, Charlie Brown's that Christmas special has been around since 1956.
Oh, yeah.
So there's some history there, too. Yeah.
How do you see younger folks enjoying the service in another language, in German?
We don't have that many really younger people. The first service I did up in near Buffalo years ago, it was like a sea of white as I looked out at the congregation, all these octogenarians and maybe a little bit younger, but they kept coming back until they went to heaven.
You're keeping the tradition, or hopefully that encouraging others that are younger to come be
right.
involved. Yeah.
Yes.
And you have it sounds as if you have a dedicated parish that comes for this specific service.
Yeah. Actually, from our congregation, we have maybe three or four people who are familiar with the German. So it's really basically an outreach to those who would appreciate coming to that service.
And let's remind folks again when the German service is happening.
Okay. It is this coming Sunday, December the 10th at 2 p.m. And following the service, we do have what's called a Kaffeestunde, a coffee hour, with Stollen and Lebkuchen and all those other good things, which just start to have the German people salivate. So we invite anybody and everybody, even if you don't know German, we'd just love to have you come.
Where can folks get more information?
They can give me a call, and my phone number is 570-559-7608. And my home is in Shohola, which is a little bit above Milford. So look forward to having you come.
And could you help us with a few holiday phrases in German? I'm not very good at any of these.
Oh, okay. So basically, Merry Christmas would be Fröhliche Weihnachten. There's an umlaut there, which is tough for unless you're a native.
I'm not.
No, okay.
I'm from Indianapolis.
Oh, well, that's kind of German out there.
And what about, how do you say happy holidays?
That's a phrase that is probably not very German.
Not very translatable.
You could say happy new year would be literally a safe slide into the new year. Einen guten Rutsch ins neue Jahr.
We hope we all have a safe slide into 2024.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Pastor Ralph Buckman, thank you so much for joining us. And I'm just going to say Happy Christmas. I don't think I want to attempt to butcher the language.
Oh, well, one more attempt. Fröhliche Weihnachten.
Fröhliche Weihnachten.
You're hired. You're good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, Sullivan 180 and their MLK Youth Summit and more. This is Radio Catskill. Support for Radio Catskill comes from Sullivan Public, inviting the community to their holiday market, December 9th and 10th, 11 to 4, featuring ceramics from studio Jesse Lazar, alongside other artists, makers, projects, live music, food, and more. In Eldred, behind the library. More information on sullivanpublic.com. And from listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, host of On Point. Each hour of On Point is a journey to help make complicated issues understandable. Every issue brings more questions, like how did we get here? Why is this happening? And what does it mean? And how do we fix it? So let's figure this out and make sense of the world together. Join me weekday mornings at 11 here on Radio Catskill.
This is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Sullivan 180 is a nonprofit organization committed to fostering a healthy community through individuals, environments, policies, and is organizing their annual MLK Day Youth Summit already. The event aims to provide Sullivan County High School students with a day of self-discovery and inspiration. Joining us now is Amanda Langsetter, who is the managing director of Sullivan 180. Good morning.
So great to be here. Thank you so very much.
Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
So yeah, we're all prepping for the holidays. We're just talking about German Christmas. You guys are already in January.
Oh my gosh, because that's what happens. You know, we get into December and it creeps up on us and we go, oh my gosh, we need to be thinking about January and our annual MLK Day of Service Youth Summit. This is our third youth summit. We're really excited to jump into our third year here. We've had just over 100, close to 100 students each year, and we're opening up to 150 students this year at the Hurleyville Performing Arts Center. This event really came out of multiple partners, agencies, and youth serving organizations coming together and saying, we want to do something about the rate of disconnected youth in Sullivan County, a very high rate. And we want those high school juniors and seniors to feel like they have a connection here in Sullivan County, and people who believe in them, people who believe in Martin Luther King's word, their sense of somebody-ness, their ability to be determined and commit to their blueprint for life. So it really has evolved, and we have a returning keynote speaker. His name is Duncan Kirkwood. He is amazing. he was there last year, and he's actually been doing a school tour and will continue to tour through our schools the day before the MLK Day Youth Summit, and then he will act as our keynote speaker on January 11th.
And the Youth Summit is encouraging students to come together, boost self-confidence. It's also a day of service. Can you explain a little bit more about what students experience during this summit?
Absolutely. So, Hez mentioned it. It's kind of based on that MLK Blueprint for Life speech. So the belief, determination, and commitment are the three themes in that speech. So the students go through some activities around those three themes, and they really pay service to themselves, which sounds like, gosh, I'm not, you know, sure does this make sense, but it does make sense, because high school juniors and seniors are getting ready to launch. They're getting ready to find out who they are and what they have to contribute to their community and their world. And we want to make sure that they know how valuable their voice is, and that they have a community here that supports them of resources and agencies. So that's a big part of this. There are, I want to say, just over a dozen different organizations that contribute to this day. They come and act as table facilitators, guiding the youth through those activities, or blueprint facilitators, which are adults who have a pretty incredible story themselves about finding their sense of somebody-ness, maybe amidst a lot of barriers or challenges. So that will certainly happen, and that the day has those types of activities in which the students are interacting with the adult facilitators. We have some mindfulness activities planned with an incredible resource, Kim Tai, here in Sullivan County, who will be leading those. And we've got great agency partners, like I mentioned. We have staff from Cornell Cooperative Extension, Bethelwood Center for the Arts, the Hurleyville Performing Arts Center, MISM, Rural Migrant Ministries, the Youth Bureau, the Center for Workforce Development, SALT, and Today's Students, Tomorrow's Teachers.
And how do you work with local youth to get them to the summit? Is this through these partners and schools? How does that work?
Great question. So every school is allotted a ratio of students that they can invite to the youth summit. It goes through their guidance counselors. So if there's a student, a junior or senior out there who's thinking, gosh, I really want to be at this youth summit. First of all, I don't blame you, because you'll get a lot out of it. But second of all, you need to go to your guidance counselor. Go to your guidance counselor, let them know, I want to be put on the list for the MLK Day of Service Youth Summit. I want to be there.
And this is the third year you mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, what are some things you've learned after the first two that you're trying to implement into this third summit?
Oh, goodness. You know, I think that the youth really enjoy the opportunity to be with a diverse group of youth from all across the county. So that's really been fun. We do break up the group so they're not all sitting with students that maybe they typically hang out with at school. It's brand new faces, brand new people, personalities, and they've really enjoyed that experience. And I think a lot of times, youth don't know what experiences are out there for them. So they may not know that there's internship opportunities or job opportunities available to them. And even, you know, emergency services volunteerism, they start to learn about all these things in their junior and senior years that influence them and their career choices and their their ability to step forth after graduation and have a little bit of that blueprint for life already laid out for them.
What's one of the fondest memories you've had from the last couple of youth summits of how it's been impactful for some of the youth?
Sure. So actually, since we're sitting in a radio station, Paul Siliberto is one of our Blueprint facilitators. And one of the students had a real interest in a degree in pursuing a career in communications and in radio specifically. And not only did they get to experience the Youth Summit, but they got to have a an internship opportunity at the local radio station to learn more. So I think those types of things, to see the connections, to see youth perhaps participate in the Youth Summit and then later see them out in the community working somewhere and they went, hey, I met so-and-so at the Youth Summit and here I am. Now I've got a job or I've got an internship. That's really exciting.
We can help with that too.
I thought so.
We actually had just as a side note, we had someone last semester from Sullivan County, BOCES, also from Fallsburg, who had expressed an interest in radio through her, her teacher here at BOCES. Mm-hmm. And we had her over and she just took right to it. Samantha went to college here at one of the SUNY schools, just heard from her a couple months ago saying, I'm sorry I haven't been in touch, but we've been really busy and I've been applying the things that I've learned. So it's just really satisfying, huh, to hear these stories.
Yeah, the youth in this county deserve that. They deserve those opportunities to explore themselves, their skill sets, and how they can find mentors here in this county. It's really important that, you know, us old stodgy people remember that we were young once too, and we might have needed a little bit of a hand up or a little bit of a, you know, a help as we were exploring who we are and what skills we have to contribute to the world. So I think that's really what the MLK Day of Service Youth Summit is all about. And we've got spots. So we are about, I would say, halfway full in terms of slots right now, but we want to fill those 150 slots. It's an important day. Every student gets 4 hours of community service. They get a sweatshirt, an awesome MLK Day of Service sweatshirt designed by Yegg. And oh my goodness, they get an MLK Day journal and a swag bag from all of our partners. But moreover, they walk away with those really valuable connections here in our community, so that they can continue to grow.
It's also important to dispel some of the myths that might still be around about youth in this county, too. There are opportunities. There are success stories. There are folks that go on to do well. And that's important for us to get that message out, too.
For sure. I always sing, kids, what the devil's wrong with these kids today? And if you remember that song, that song is from, I don't know, probably it must have been Bye Bye Birdie in the 1950s, I believe. So we've always been saying that. What's the matter with the kids? The kids, there is nothing wrong with the kids. There's nothing wrong with the next generation. We just, we need to find ways to connect them and connect them to their community.
Tell different stories.
Yeah.
We're joined by Amanda Langsetter, from the Managing Director of Sullivan 180. Let's take a quick break. And
sure.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the other Sullivan 180 programs.
That sounds great.
This is Radio Chatskill.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, independent grassroots global news. Our reporting includes breaking daily news headlines and in-depth interviews with people on the front lines of the world's most pressing issues. People speaking for themselves, providing unique and sometimes provocative perspectives on global events. Democracy Now!, weekdays at noon, right here on Radio Catskill.
NPR and this station are supported by the communities we serve. In return, our journalism is available to everyone free of charge. Keep this public service strong. Donate today.
Make your year-end tax-deductible donation before December 31st. Make a one-time donation of any amount at wjffradio.org. Thank you.
You're with Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. We're speaking with Amanda Langsetter, the Managing Director of Sullivan 180. You guys are really planning ahead. You're already planning for your next Healthiest Fire Department Challenge.
We're literally
trying to get to tomorrow.
I'm kind of proud of us. We certainly are all set for of course, the next year. And oftentimes people are thinking about their health at the beginning of the year, right? It's like that reboot. Oh, my gosh, it's the new year. Here's my New Year's resolution. And we've got a lot of fire departments making some pretty incredible New Year's resolutions. After a great year of the first Sullivan County Healthiest Fire Department Challenge, 17 fire departments in this county competed and blew us away with the changes that they made in their fire departments. We're talking about over 1,000 healthy activities completed in fire departments, 266 healthy meal replacements. And let me tell you, when my kid, who is a cadet at a local fire department, came home and said he had a quinoa bowl for dinner at the fire department, I went, whoa, what's happening here? Things are taking hold. Things are changing with the fire departments. And there's really now a collective understanding that our emergency services, you know, they're struggling with their own health, and we need them. We rely on them. And so we have to help them and make sure that they have the resources that they need in order to improve their own health. We know that more than half of all firefighters have elevated blood pressure. Many are obese and pre-diabetic, and 90% or more have poor diet and exercise habits. And, you know, with that, I share that fire departments and fire department members don't have it easy. Their sleep is disturbed. Their family time is interrupted consistently. They are seeing trauma on a daily basis. It is not easy to be a fire department member or in emergency services, and that takes a toll on their physical and mental health. And so I'm so proud of the Healthiest Fire Department Challenge. And my colleague, Lindsay, who's not here today because she's not bringing her germs in to get you sick, Tim.
Lindsay.
But she has really done an incredible job inspiring the fire departments to reach for more for their own health. And so we kick off another year that kicks off January 1st. If you are in a fire department and you haven't considered being in the challenge yet, well, what are you waiting for? Let us know that you want to sign up, because there's a great opportunity to earn an incredible amount of grants and funding through Sullivan 180 and our partners, and who, what fire department, you know, couldn't use an extra couple bucks.
What was some of the strategy about going to fire departments in the area to do this? I mean, is it because they're kind of like real life influencers?
To me, the fire department is the lifeblood of any community. Yeah. I mean, I was a ladies auxiliary member, and my kids grew up in the fire department. And I know Lindsay, we actually have two Sullivan 180 staff members, Lindsay and Nicole, that are firefighters. And I think just fire departments run deep in a community, and the fire department itself, the building, is the hub of a lot of activity. So there can be trainings and there can be programs there. So it just seemed like our fire department members deserve this. And if we've learned nothing along the way through a pandemic, that we so need the lifeblood of our community, and we need to take care of them. So I think that's probably where this all evolved out of.
Yeah. And there you kind of. It's cross-section of the community, too. You know these folks, and then the minute that alarm goes off, they're all dedicated to the one idea of saving someone or making sure everything's okay. But as you said, like when your son brings that home, they're definitely influencing other folks.
It's incredible. I mean, not only is he hearing it at his fire department, but of course he goes to a school that has the Empowering a Healthier Generation program. And so healthier choices are being made in his school, in his fire department, you know, hopefully in his workplaces. And that starts to surround somebody. And that starts to change health. That's when we climb up the county health rankings. Mm-hmm. When we get ourselves out of the bottom, it's going to take really those messages and those changes to our environment and the policies all around us that really are going to be long-term changes in health for Sullivan.
And you mentioned the health rankings, and it's still, you know, still down there at the bottom part of it. But as we've said before, Sullivan 180, the logo is a turtle. Like it is. Yeah. You know that this is going to take some time. How do you feel things are going? Do you feel some more momentum, even if it's at a turtle's pace?
Yeah. We're A-okay with a turtle's pace, because, you know, these changes take a long time. It's been really difficult. I think of the many years that I spent as you know, kind of the Krispy Kreme fighter of like, can't we do something better for healthier fundraisers at school or any of this? And now the understanding is changing that we do need to create these healthier environments for our children. And I would say that, you know, the change is there, and it does take a long time. It takes turtle steps. But you know what? The turtle does what at the end of the race? The turtle wins the race because the turtle took slow and methodical and well thought out steps to get to that finish line. And that's what we're doing here with Sullivan 180 and with all of our community partners. We did move up a peg, so we moved from 61 to 60. But I think much more than that, you feel a general sense of awareness, a reduction in stigma. People, for fire departments to be opening up the conversation around mental health and suicide prevention and substance use disorder. I mean, those are steps that we can't just dismiss. They are just huge, and change takes a long time, but we're getting there here in Sullivan.
Well, and also I note that it's consistent too. It's not just something that, we're going to do this and try it for a couple of years and, it didn't work, we're going to move on. No, right. It's a consistent message. It is you're adapting to the what's going on. You're trying different things and moving, in that direction as a turtle does.
Yeah, absolutely. and with all of its partners. I mean, that's really the most important thing, is that we have a lot of great turtles out there that are all willing to commit to this and make change together. Sullivan 180 started with many, many organizations at the table together that wanted to make a change, and it continues to do its work in that way.
And part of the folks that help with that are volunteers. You guys are always looking for volunteers.
Thank you.
How can folks get involved?
Yes, thank you for reminding me. Community health champions and volunteers, the volunteer corps, those are the lifeblood of our organization. They really get the work done out in the community, and we are always looking for those individuals. We're always looking for people who want to lead programs in the community, whether it be suicide prevention, vaping prevention, the basics, which is an early parenting program. Perhaps you want to lead a walking club in your community, or you want to lead a healthy recipe get together group. Whatever it might be, we could probably use you at Sullivan 180. We need your skill sets. But I will say, you know, if you want to just get out and get moving with a group and lead some people together to Peace, Love, and Lights, we could really use your help at Peace, Love, and Lights Walkthrough Mondays. It's happening at Bethel Woods, and it is the next couple of Mondays between now and Christmas. We are collecting gifts for the Federation for the Homeless. You actually get in for free if you bring a gift to the Federation for the Homeless. So that helps about 60 families get gifts this holiday season. And moreover, it helps the whole community get moving and active in that kind of cold time right now, where we're all kind of entrenched at home and we need to get out and find those opportunities to be active.
And making that holiday event a way toward becoming a little more healthy, too.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, it's so much fun.
Let's remind folks who may be interested, students who might be interested in getting involved with the MLK Youth Summit, folks that want to get involved as volunteers or get more information.
Sure. Our website is probably the best place to go. Sullivan180.org is a great resource. And actually, I should share, too, that there is a link to the community resource guide on our website, which is an incredible document of hundreds of agencies and organizations across the county that can help you improve your health. So that document is there. If you want to be involved in the MLK Day of Service Youth Summit, feel free to give us a call. If you want to register as a high school junior or senior, go right to your guidance counselor and find out more information there.
Oh, and Healthiest Fire Department Challenge.
Healthiest Fire Department Challenge is our amazing Lindsay Wheat. I'm so sorry she's germy today. Not feeling well, but she is absolutely our resource for everything fire department related. So please reach out to Lindsay. And then Walkthrough Mondays, you check us out on the website and just join us. Starts at 5 o'clock every Monday between now and Christmas. And last walkers go in at 7:30. It is magical seeing the lights display on foot.
Do you get a break? Are you taking a little bit of time off? Very busy.
Tim, you're very funny.
You're very busy.
No, you know what? Self-care is important. And I will say our organization really does remind us all doing this work that, yes, we have to improve the health of the community, but we really do need to take care of ourselves. So, yeah, we'll be squeezing in a little self-care around the holidays for sure.
Good. All right. Amanda Langsetter is the managing director of Sullivan 180. More information at Sullivan180.org. I'm going to call back to our last segment and try this as a goodbye.
Okay.
I'm going to try to say Happy Christmas in German.
Okay. Oh, I'm excited to hear it.
Fröhliche Weihnachten. Nachten.
I'm impressed.
Maybe.
Wow.
Ask the pastor how I did. All right. Have a happy holiday. Thank you, Amanda.
Right back at you, Tim.
We'll take a break. And when we come back, more holiday news and fun. Dickens on the Delaware and Calicoon. We'll get a preview. This is Radio Chatskill.
Hi there. This is Brian, host of The Secret Show. Friday nights at 9. I'll be playing a mix of indie, alternative, college, rock, and pop. Some new music and some old classics. That's The Secret Show, Friday nights at 9, only on Radio Catskill. Listen local.
Hey, it's Cassie from Rare Pair Radio, playing you the fruit of all things sweet, Fridays, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., mostly female artists, from rock, funk, punk, pop, and more. All rare, only on WJFF Radio Catskill.
Radio station head, just turn it on. You'll be gone.
You're listening to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Dickens on the Delaware is a Victorian holiday wonderland in the hamlet of Callicoon on the Delaware. It's coming up this Saturday from noon to 8. Here to tell us more about it is Irene Nicolai from The Western. All kinds of events going on in Callicoon. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being here. Now, Dickens on the Delaware has become this annual event. It's really fun. Folks get dressed up. What do you guys have on tap for this year?
Sure. It's a really fun event, and we have all the shopkeepers and visitors dressed up in Victorian outfits and costumes. We have a holiday market of local makers in the Western Ballroom, which will be really exciting. It's been closed for the, you know, several years during COVID, and now we're just reopening up for this event. We will have horse and buggy rides throughout town and Lower Main Street, photos with Santa, which will be really exciting to benefit St. Jude. That will also be at the Western. There will be alpaca photos at the Callicoon Depot, which is in the center of town, and Buckbrook Alpacas will be bringing their animals there, and people can take photos with them, which is really fun for the kids.
Oh, real life alpacas. That's awesome.
Yeah. They're also hosting a wreath-making workshop from 1 to 3 also at the Depot.
And
let's see, there's,
you mentioned the free horse and buggy rides. Are there other activities for children or other kind of performances that are going on throughout the day?
Yes, Farm Arts Collective has produced a new Dickens public theater event, and that will be from 2 p.m. throughout town, starting at the Depot and going on to Lower Main Street. So Farm Arts Collective, and that will be 2 p.m. in town. That's really always fun. They have beautiful costumes and various actors. Also, carolers from the Sullivan West Choir will be on hand. And other carolers in the evening starting at 4 p.m. will be walking around town and serenading all the businesses.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, holiday treats, hot chocolate, eggnog, all that
hot
stuff.
Hot chocolate, yes. We always have the beautiful fire sculptures in the center of town at the Depot, where kids will have s'mores that they can roast in front of the fire. Hot chocolate will be there. We'll have the Seminary Hill Cidery will be hosting a couple of different specials that they have, as well as Shoot Fox Brewery. So there'll be a couple of stations right in front of the historic Callicoon Depot. And then, you know, throughout town, there'll be other events like, you know, farm arts, the carolers, gingerbread cookie making at the public library as well. So we will have a map of all of these events ready for in the morning that could be found at all the stores.
And we mentioned that the town really gets involved, the merchants in the hamlet and their employees all are encouraged to don their best Victorian-inspired outfits. But you guys at the Callicoon Business Association actually have like a costume closet for them. Is that right?
We do. We have the costume closet. This year, it's on the second floor of the Callicoon Brewery. And for those who have not visited the second floor, it's a beautiful space which has been restored, and they have a special bar room up there, and the costume closet will be there this week, so people can visit them from 12 to 6 p.m.
And you also encourage visitors to dress up as well.
Yes, we do. We do. Definitely.
And there have been
a really fun event. Yeah, people actually have come back and with costumes and stayed at the various inns throughout town and, you know, love coming here and all getting all dressed up.
What is one of the favorite things for you as a business owner in town to have this event and have it, you know, themed like this?
Well, you know, it's a beautiful, you know, event. Victorian costume is really fun for all the employees in town and in our establishment, they really, you know, get really excited every year about picking their costumes and getting ready for the holidays, you know, decorating the businesses for the holidays. This year, we went an extra step, and we're making Calicoon light up for the winter and this festival in particular. All the businesses have decided to do white lights, and we've been really active in getting new lights and making Calicoon beautiful for this event as well as the winter months.
Yeah, and I noticed the tree, you had the tree lighting last week. I went through town and it looks great. Where can folks get more information about the vendors and just the whole event that's happening on Saturday?
Sure. You can find the information about the event on visitcalicoon.com. There's also various pages on Facebook, including visitcalicoon.com, Dickens on the Delaware. There's also Instagram information on visitcalicoon.com. And as I mentioned, there will be maps available the day of the event.
And the businesses are staying open a little late, right? I mean, normally the restaurants are open, but some of the businesses close up around 4 or 5, but they're being asked to stay open later?
Yes. So the holiday market will be from 12 to 6 at the Western, like I mentioned. And then the businesses and the shops will be staying open until 8 p.m. that evening.
All right. Do you have your costume picked out? Can you tell us what we might expect?
All I can say, it's going to be a frilly skirt and a frilly shirt, and all our employees have beautiful costumes picked out. So it's going to be really fun at the Western and all the other businesses with top hats and ribbons and all of that fun stuff.
I think frilly fits it. It's Dickens on the Delaware, and that seems appropriate. Dickens on the Delaware from the Calicoon Business Association and Sullivan Catskills is in Calicoon this Saturday from noon to 8, the Victorian Winter Wonderland throughout the entire hamlet. And you can check out what Irene and everybody else is wearing and dress up yourself. Irene Nikolai of the Western Hotel in Calicoon, thank you so much for joining us to tell us about Dickens on the Delaware this year.
Thank you, Tim. We look forward to seeing your costume.
I got to go find something. All right.
All right.
All right.
Thank
Thanks.
You.
Take care. Happy holidays. Okay. All right. That's going to do it for this edition of Radio Chatskill. You can find past episodes of our show at WJFFradio.org. And while you're there, check out all of our other locally produced programs and podcasts. I'm Tim Bruno. Thanks for listening.
Radio Catskill supporters include SUNY Sullivan, a community college in the Sullivan Catskills focused on preparing students for the future. More information at sunysullivan.edu. Livingston Manor, dining, shopping, and the arts at the gateway to the Catskill Park. LivingstonManorNY.com. And listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Hi, I'm Kirsten Foster, president of Radio Catskills Board of Trustees. Radio Catskills here to meet each moment for you. Radio Catskills' mission relies on your ongoing support to be here day after day delivering the news, information, and culture you rely on. More than ever, Radio Catskill depends on donations from listeners to fund all of the crucial resources behind every moment of our coverage. So please be generous now and make your year-end donation today at WJFFradio.org. Thank you.
Your whole life, you've got your heart, your lungs, your bone, your skin, your eyes.
On the next Radiolab.
When you're pregnant, you grow an entirely new organ.
It's a foreign invader.
The placenta
has one mission.
To suck as much nutrients out of the mother as possible.
And the pregnant person's mission?
Not to die.
Join us for the epic stalemate that results in every one of us. That's on the next Radiolab.
This afternoon at 1 on Radio Catskill.
On Point is next, followed by Democracy Now! At noon. Today's forecast for the Catskills in northeast Pennsylvania, occasional snow showers continuing till about 2 this afternoon, high only around 32. Tonight, 22 is the low, cloudy overnight and clouds throughout the next few days, high around the same tomorrow, 33, a few flurries possible, 27 is the low tomorrow night. Looking ahead to Friday, high 42. Saturday for Dickens on the Delaware and all the other events in the area, high 47. Right now, it's 31 in Liberty, 33 in Honesdale.
Hello, I'm Thane Peterson, host of Living Jazz. You know, jazz is a great improvised art form that started in America, spread around the world, and is still going strong. That's why every Saturday afternoon I bring you the best in current jazz. It's the newest, most interesting music you can hear anywhere. Join me for Living Jazz, noon to 2 Saturday, here on Radio Catskill.
You're listening to Radio Catskill. WJFF Jeffersonville. W233 AH Monticello.